Blog Talk Radio.
Of Jordan Pauline, and you can follow her on Instagram. Jordan Pauline is an American singer, songwriter, actor, dancer, and a rapper. She studied musical theater and performing arts at the South Bay Conservatory. Jordan was on my show actually maybe a month or two ago, and that is her new single that you can cop that, and it's entitled What? It's W-H-E-T. Rob Daddy is a breast cancer survivor, and he joins me tonight. Rob Daddy is a native New Yorker. His witty humor and mannerism aids him in his deep love for hip-hop and breathes life of New York City. Now living in Atlanta, Georgia, he has never forgotten where he came from. Rob Daddy is an entrepreneur, DJ, sneaker connoisseur. We got to talk about that. Automotive aficionado, and a fun-loving guy to be around. So with that said, his jokes and comedic nature, I can actually agree to that because I follow him on Instagram, and those jokes are hilarious, some of the posts, actually would help navigate through the obstacles life has thrown him. He is a breast cancer survivor for 9 years, and a positive outlook on life is what sustains Rob. So without further ado, let's welcome Rob Daddy. How are you?
Yo, what's good? Hi.
What's up, Rob?
Going down? Yo,
you're going down. You're the man of the hour, and a native New Yorker I am as well. So I love talking to another New Yorker because I'm BX all day.
You know how we get down. You know what it is. I mean, we're in a sad state right now with the Giants losing, but we're going to get past that and keep it moving. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, Rob, you know, it's so interesting because it's like we have similar paths. Like, I actually was living in Atlanta back in 2015, and then I left in 2016, but that was my second go-around, and I lived in a tip of Buckhead, and I used to work at Lennox Mall as a makeup artist for MAC Cosmetics.
Balling, living up in Buckhead. I see how you do. All right.
And I got to introduce you to one of my friends who's also a DJ that's doing great out there. He goes by Daddy Dre. I don't know if you're familiar with Dre. But Dre is from Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to connect you two. So let's get into it, Rob. Let's dive deep, and then we'll keep it light. But my question to you is, breast cancer survivor, and you are 9 years cancer-free. So let's backtrack to the very beginning. How were you able to detect that you had breast cancer? What were some of the signs, and, like, what was going on? Let's tell my listeners that I listened tonight.
Okay, first of all, I was the typical male. You know, men, we see things and we ignore them. Like, I had a bump on my chest, I had a lump in my chest. And I looked at it and I was like, man, this ain't nothing, keep it moving. And at the time, I was married, and my wife at the time, I was getting out the shower, and she looked at me and was like, yo, what's that lump? I looked at it, I was like, it don't hurt, so it ain't nothing. So I kept moving, and she was like, can you please get that checked? We got health insurance. Mm-hmm. We doing all right. Go get it checked. And at first, I just kind of, like, blew her off. I'm like, you just wild. You know, I get bumps all the time. But this one, and when she noticed it, it was the beginning of October. And October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, she prodded me and, you know, said, hey, go get it checked out. So I went to the doctor. And mind you, at this time, I wasn't feeling bad. I had nothing going on. You know, I felt I was in pretty decent health. Went to the doctor, and the doctors was like, what is that lump? They didn't even know what it was. So we had to do first round of testing. Yeah, the first round of testing, they was like, we don't know what that is. And then they was like, well, we got to go in deeper. And they did a core biopsy. And then they came back. And this was the craziest part about everything. The core biopsy was the only part, that only time that I ever experienced pain.
The biopsy, right? So let's slow it down and give a person an understanding, because I've had a biopsy, but if you could explain to the listeners tonight, for a man having breast cancer, what was the biopsy and mammogram like for you? Like, let's slow it down and explain that.
Well, I never had a mammogram, but I had the core biopsy because I had a lump, and it was right up under my nipple, under the right side nipple. And what they did a core biopsy means they take a needle, a long needle, and the needle has like a gripper on the end of it. And what they're doing is going into the center of the bump or the lump and pulling out a section of the meat of the lump, and they take that and they test it.
Right.
And that was the only time that I felt pain. They did a little general anesthesia on me, but that ain't do nothing.
Trust me. I feel you, because, and I'm not going to interrupt because I'm listening to what you're saying, but I can relate, because when I had my biopsy done, I had the biopsy done in North Carolina, and it was at Wake Med, and he had me, they compressed it like a mammogram, and then they took a large needle to go into my breast and take out the sample for the biopsy, and that was painful. So we have a caller calling in, Rob. Let's see who this person is. Okay. Area code 804, last four digits 0211. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Antoinette in Richmond, Virginia. Yes, can you hear me?
Hi, Antoinette. How are you doing?
Hi.
We can hear you. How
are
you
doing? I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm just calling and listening. Just wanted to know that I'm supporting, and I'm a friend of Rob's. I just want to say I'm just very excited to be listening tonight.
Okay, awesome. You have any questions for us, feel free to let us know. But for right now, I'll let you be a listener. Is that cool?
Oh, that is fine. Yes, I just want to make sure I turned in. But I did have one question if I can ask right now.
Sure, you can ask. You want to ask Rob a question?
sure. I just wanted to know generally if he gets to it, was there any type of other treatments that he had to do after he had his surgeries done, or if there's anything that he's doing now, just that maybe he'll get to that later. I just want to throw that out since I am on the phone, but I'll be more than happy to be a listener.
Sure.
Thanks.
No problem. Rob, you want to answer her question?
Oh, yeah. I was going to get to the I was going to get to that, you know, what I had to do afterwards. No problem.
Okay.
But, yeah, I had – so going back to the biopsy and everything, mm-hmm. and, well, I had the biopsy, and I had to wait a week for the results. And this is like
nerve,
the wildest
that's nerve,
thing that ever
And that's nerve-wracking.
Nerve-wracking is not even the word, but check this out. This is what mm-hmm. the doctor did. The doctor called me on the phone and gave me my results.
That's
and I was like, dude, right. And I asked him, I said, where are you? Oh, I'm at a medical conference in Arizona. I was like, yo, do you realize I'm at lunch, dude? And it's crazy because even the restaurant that I was eating at, I've never gone back there again. Sorry, they had good food, but I wasn't feeling them after that. But so they told me I had breast cancer, and I have to admit, at the time, my family, they all circled around me. They made me, they kept me calm. They really kept me calm. They kept me centered. My mother is a nurse. Well, she's a retired nurse. So at the time, you know, that was, I'm sorry, I'm a mama's boy. I ran straight to my mom's. I was like, Mom,
yeah.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? She was
right.
like, okay, well, we're going to do, we're going to go in. You know, my mom has always been a praying woman. So, and my family is Jamaican. So I don't know if I even told you that. But my family is Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so every now and then you might hear me break into the accent and everything. But she, you know, she was like, we're going to pray over this and you were going to be fine. And I was like, all right. So she went with me to my doctor's appointment. And we had elected to do a dual mastectomy. Before they even told me anything about what size or, you know, how big the lump was or what stage I was in, we were like, you doing a dual mastectomy. You ain't got no need for these boobies. Let's get rid of these boobies. And I'm a boobie man. I love breasts. But, I mean,
you love female breasts, or you just wanted to, did you want to retain your breasts, or you were fine letting go of the breasts?
I was fine letting go of the breasts, but I love female breasts. I'm a breast lover. I was breastfed.
I got you.
But, yeah, so I was like, you know, she's, and they basically talked to me about, you know, how I don't have to worry about some of the things that women, hormonal-wise, have to worry about. So by me losing my breasts and not having to do any reconstruction or having a lumpectomy, I don't have to worry about side effects as much as the woman would.
Right.
Now, true enough, going forward, the doctor was honest with me and said, because breast cancer in men is not widely spoken about, nor is it widely, you know, it's not like a lot of men at the time were coming forward with breast cancer, that the treatment for it is not as widespread as it is for women. So I'm taking the same drug that a woman would take, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
Really?
I had the surgery. Yeah, I'm going to come back to the drug I'm taking. I had the surgery.
Okay, so wait a minute. Before you had the surgery, what stage were you?
They don't see, with me, they did not tell me what stage I was until they removed it.
Really?
Because they measured it. Yeah, they measured it. They performed the surgery, and they did the test on the lymph nodes to see if they had spread to my lymph nodes. And we found out that they had zero spread into the lymph nodes. So once we figured that out, they measured the lump, and they even showed it to me. It's like a big black circle. Yeah.
Why
and,
would they want to show you that, Rob? Like, that's so insensitive, I feel. But keep going. Okay.
I was like,
so what was the size of that lump when they took it out?
I was stage one going to stage two with no spreading to the lymph nodes. So that meant I had to take no radiation and no chemotherapy.
Awesome. Same here. I was stage zero.
Okay.
So
wow.
I went through the double. I caught mine early because of a abnormal mammogram in Hawaii, and then when I flew to the mainland, I had to relocate because my husband is military. So once we relocated, they just encouraged me. Make sure you follow up with a mammogram and make sure you go. So I could have put it off. I'm like, yeah, no, nothing. But then I, too, wound up traveling to North Carolina to be with my sister so I could have the support. And when they did a mammogram, they did a biopsy, they did an ultrasound, like, you know, the sonogram, they call it, for the breast. And when I got the news, I had to wait like you. I had to wait 3 days. And they called me back in the office. And when I got the news, they just, two doctors sat in front of me and said, well, Ms. Welch, you have stage zero breast cancer. And I just looked at them and said, okay, what do we do next? And I was a great candidate for, I requested a double bilateral mastectomy and then breast implants because I just didn't want anything to interfere with it ever returning in my body. So
that's,
I understand
that's
what,
why I did the
you know
same
what I'm
saying? Now,
right.
The only
and
thing
I see
didn't
the scars.
Do...
I see the scars,
yeah.
though, Robert. So they cut you straight across, and there's no nipples anymore.
No, I don't have,
you have
any
no
nipples,
nipples
anymore. Oh. And before, I was up to a good A cup. I was pretty good. I was pretty healthy. You know, I had a nice little A cup going on. But now I have nothing. but you know, I didn't get I was never offered implants, and I was like, but I didn't need them, and I was like, look, I'm good. So I was so after the surgery, I was only in the hospital for 24 hours, basically for observation, and you know they put the little balls in you, the drainage balls and everything.
Yeah.
I did that, and they was like, everything is looking good, and I went home for 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks I returned to the hospital. They removed the drainage balls and everything, and that's when they started me on tamoxifen. And they said, "We want you to take tamoxifen, which is it's a form of chemotherapy, but it's a pill form, and it doesn't have the adverse effects of the other type of chemotherapy where you sit with the machine and all that. This one is a pill I take once a day." I took the pill, and when I first took this pill, let me explain something to you ladies. When I tell you I am so sorry about y'all having hot flashes, man, I was having hot flashes. I was damn near blacking out. I was drinking water like I was in the Sahara Desert. I was like, yo, what's up with this? And actually, they took me to the hospital one day because I was like, yo, I'm sweating. And it was like 30 degrees, and I'm pouring down with sweat.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, yo, you having a hot flash. I was like, man, I'm a dude, man. Stop giving me women scenarios. I'm a dude. So they said, they explained it to me, and they was like, you got to double your water intake with this medicine. And as my body adapted to it, and I've been going to the oncologist, and I'm thankful to say that going to the oncologist and everything, they have basically said that I am cancer-free. This has been this is November makes – because I had my surgery on November 11th, and that makes this November 11th makes 9 years. And
wait a minute, Rob. Guess what? Hold on. Guess what? It's so crazy how life is. So my father, who was a Papa Center, and he's from Puerto Rico, but he was raised in the Bronx. My father's birthday is November 11th.
What? See?
Yeah. And so great things happen on the 11th. And, you know, I just wanted to share with you, I just saw my oncologist and my plastic surgeon today, and they both confirmed I don't have to come back for, like, every 2-week visits. The cancer is gone, and I am just going to follow up, like, every 6 months right now. I'm cancer-free, and I did have breast implants, and I do know what you're talking about hot flashes.
Because the hot flashes ain't no joke.
They're no joke, but mine subsided because I take something called Trazodone, and I take it at night to sleep, so that took away my hot flashes, so I don't get those anymore. But
okay.
We have another caller. Let's see who's this. 804, last four digits 5077. Tell me your name and where you're calling from. Hello.
Hello. Peace. How are you?
I'm great. Tell me who
you are. Can you hear me?
What's your name? Yeah, we hear you.
I'm Jess. How are you guys doing?
Jess, Jess West. And Jess, you're a native New Yorker as well?
Yes.
So, Jess, Rob is a native New Yorker. He is my featured guest tonight, and Rob is a male breast cancer survivor. Do you have any questions for Rob that is a brother that survived, and he's 9 years cancer-free, and he had to go through a similar procedure like me, a double bilateral mastectomy. So you have any questions for Rob?
Brother Rob, how are you?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to hear that you're a survivor. So what part of the body that your cancer was detected?
My chest. It was in my breast area.
Yes. Oh, your breast area.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of chiming in.
Yeah. So I had a lump in my right breast. And,
really?
Yeah. And it did not hurt, but it was just a lump that was there. And it wasn't supposed to be, basically, for lack of a better word. It wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And as men, I know we don't go get ourselves checked when we have abnormalities. We hope they just kind of like just go away. And I have to give thanks again to my ex-wife for, you know, pressing me to go to get it checked out. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I believe if she didn't, I would have just let it, you know, grow into whatever and take me out the game. So I'm thankful for that.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
Oh, so what were some of your symptoms? Like, give me a little history
no
on
symptoms.
Like what happened.
I had no symptoms. The lump was the only symptom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay,
the lump
guys.
Was
so
the
I'm
only
gonna let
symptom.
You. I'll tell you this. I'll tell both of you guys this. So Beyonce Knowles, now Beyonce Carter, her father just recently, maybe 2 months ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer, and unlike Rob, Daddy, Beyonce's dad, he had bleeding of the nipple, which is another form. He found some spots of blood on his bed sheet, and then he found spots of blood under his, you know, in his shirt where the nipple is. So when he saw the bleeding, that's when he and his wife I think he's married or he has a woman, but detected that and was like, okay, we need to go in. And then he, yes, was positive for breast cancer. So I think to answer your question, Jess, there are symptoms like it could be discharge of the nipple, it could be bleeding, it could be swelling, it could be soreness, it could be a discoloration of the breast. You know, there's so many different variations, and also the lump. The lump is something. Now, I don't know about men, Rob, and this is something of your expertise. Do men need to go and get mammograms just like us women do?
No. No, because we don't have the same type of breast tissue. See, women, y'all have that breast tissue because y'all also have the ducts as well.
Yeah,
so
the milk
ducts.
And guess what? Mine was trapped. Mine was, I was safe because mine was trapped inside a milk duct. It had not released from the milk duct. That we caught it inside the milk duct. That's what saved me is going to get that mammogram. You know what I mean? So ladies out there.
And mine was attached to the nipple.
Wow. And so let me bring back this sister in because she's here and being patiently listening. Sister with the area code 804, last four digits 0211. Tell me your name again, please. Hello.
Yes,
I hear you now. What's your name? I think we have a bad connection.
Yes, I'm still here. It's Antoinette.
Antoinette. So, Antoinette, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 50.
And have you, do you go on a regular to get your mammograms done?
Actually, this year was my first year getting one done.
Wow. And so with that being your first, and honestly, Antoinette, I didn't get mine done until I was 45 years old because honestly, I was under the misconception. I was under the misconception that, okay, I have, you know, B cup boobs and I always self-tested and felt nothing that I was like, okay, I'm fine. You know, maybe this happens to big breasted women. I know that sounds silly to say, but you know, what you don't know, and until you're affected with this deadly disease, that's when you start to be proactive with investigating. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're making a pledge to annually go and get your mammograms, I'm sure, right?
Oh, most definitely, yes.
Because I will let you know.
Oh, she don't even know yet, but she don't.
Oh, statistics. So, Rob, how close are you with Antoinette?
That's my homie. That's the homie right there. You know, we talk all the time.
Okay.
And I'm telling you. So what happens is now I've even started the hashtag get felt up. Because women, y'all need to get felt up.
Okay,
and
wait
men,
a minute, guys.
Wait a minute.
Y'all got to slow it down, okay? You sounded a little sexual, and some people might take offense. So you're going to put a T-shirt that says get felt up?
Yes. It's funny that because many years ago, okay, once you,
I
once
love
you learn
it.
About
I
me,
love it. I want one of those shirts, okay? But I want it extra petite so I can show off my new tips, okay? So
okay,
I want a shirt that says, and yo, let me
get
tell y'all something because I have to – yeah, I want to get felt up, but not that way. But you know what I'm saying. So let me tell you something. It was a recent, and Rob, you're going to have to friend me on Facebook. And Antoinette, you got to do the same. But I got to share with you because Jess West is one of my homies. He is like a brother from another mother, and he attended Virginia State University, the same college I attended. So thank you, Jess,
for
being a yeah, so this is the thing. I have maybe going a little overboard, but Rob, you know I have a second Instagram page for breast cancer. So on that page, I have posted my breast, but I cover the nipple area with like stickers or things such as that. So on that Instagram page, every woman is a breast cancer survivor or going through it. So I get nothing but positive feedback on if I post something like that, being proud of saying my tits or my boobs almost killed me. And so so there's a lot of women that post, you know, boobs for life is another Instagram tag I follow. But I recently been posting this on Facebook, guys. And when I tell you, the DMs started coming in. I want to fuck you. You know, you know, oh, I love your tits and other things such as that. I actually went off, not in a negative way, but I think I Claire Huxtable'd them and read them by going on a video. And I posted the video on Instagram too, just pretty much trying to put people in check, like, what is wrong with you? Like, stop being a pervert, okay? Because if you're just, if, like, you ain't never seen some titties before in your life, like, you know, we got Mondingo brothers out there swinging it in the sweatpants, and you don't see us sisters like, ooh, I see that print. Women don't seem to do that. Am I right, Antoinette? Like, we don't be doing that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, we do not sexually harass men unless we're like a fatty fat and going to the strip club and we just need it and we want to go in there. But see, I'm not that kind of woman. That's not my mindset. And maybe I'm naive to that. So my question to you, the men on this panel, first off, Antoinette, you're a woman. Have you ever felt uncomfortable about exposing your anatomy or just having on something form-fitting and being violated by a brother?
What was that? Well, no, I don't do that. I guess
so
I don't
you...
wear my clothes in that manner, but no.
Okay, so, but have you ever felt uncomfortable around a brother?
Yes,
like,
yes, I have. Yes, I have, yes.
Now, what feeling did you feel? Maybe it was somebody that you respected, a friend or something, and then when you got that type of attention, how did it make you feel?
It was just more really uncomfortable, and then I felt embarrassed because I really didn't know how to handle the attention because I wasn't expecting it from that person. So I just kind of just, you know, left the situation.
Did you stop communicating with that person? Did you, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you
I brought it up later, but it wasn't anything that was a real quick conversation. It was something that we brought up later and discussed it. But I initially was real embarrassed. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen from you, but I wasn't even flattered because I guess maybe it was the situation that it happened in. It wasn't even flattering. So, but we discussed it later and came to some type of conclusion.
I like that. Now, Rob, you being a male breast cancer survivor, and you put your photograph, and I posted it because you sent me this in a DM, not to be disrespectful, but you sent it to say, hey, Ty, I hope you can handle this picture, but this is what it looked like when I had my mastectomy, and I saw, you know, the cut from the one breast across, straight across to the other, and no nipples anymore. And I posted that picture. Did this type of procedure emasculate you? Did you feel like less of a man? How were you feeling psychologically after going through something such as this?
After having the surgery, I actually went through a moment of depression. I went through because I felt depressed because I felt as though I wasn't the same kind of dude that I was. But I have to say that it was my grandson who kind of like my grandson and my kids and my ex-wife at the time and my mother. And I have a good friend out in California. She actually helped me as well. And that picture, I had my surgery in 2010. That picture wasn't taken until 2015. And what it was is I did that for Breast Cancer Awareness Month because people don't know about men getting breast cancer. And what was happening was more and more men in the Atlanta area that knew me were coming to me with breast cancer. And I was they were coming to me for answers, and they wanted me to talk to them. So I started talking to them and, you know, helping them through this. And then I started, some women started coming to me because they were like, what can I look forward to during this journey? And I told them, I said, first of all, you know, get yourself, listen to your doctor, get everything, you know, that needs to be happening. Take care of yourself. I said, you know, get yourself together. Now, as far as emasculating me, I've always been a strong alpha male kind of dude. And it did knock me down. But what I've also realized is breast cancer didn't kill me. And I am still here because of prayer, my mom's prayers, and the fact that I took care of a situation before it took care of me. Breast cancer never had me. So, you know, one of the things that I was reading about is, like, you know, when people write the word breast cancer, they write the B in capital and they write the C in capital. No, we don't write the C in capital anymore because we're going to let breast cancer, we're going to let cancer know that it is not something that is major and it's going to take over our lives. We take over cancer. So do not feel like you are not big enough to defeat cancer. My father, he passed away of prostate cancer, and my mother is a survivor of colon cancer. And, you know, the key to all of this is early detection. Pay attention to your bodies. Early detection is what saved me, and early detection is why I'm still here. You know, get your checkups. What I can tell for for women, get your mammograms. Brothers, get your physicals. Don't be so macho. Get a colonoscopy.
You just had a colonoscopy.
I just had a colonoscopy right after our homecoming. Had it. I don't have to go back in 10 years. I'm on the health. Let me say something about myself. I work for a pharmaceutical company. If you're familiar with McKesson. So the meds all you guys are talking about, I see it every day. Like chemo, I just handled a lot of chemo this morning, like in a bio box. It has to be refrigerated. Captain handles billions and billions of dollars of drugs. I already know what type of medicine you guys take. I see it every day. I ship it out every day to pharmacies, hospitals. We do cancer, like funding and hospitals. That's my type of industry. I've been in for the past 7 years. And I've learned a lot of ailments and cancer and the meds. It's crazy how those pharmaceutical companies make this a big business. They get paid. I'm telling you, brother. I saw a subscription of chemo was like $250,000. I don't think it was a pack of 24 pills.
Now check this out.
So that means
I'm gonna show you. I'm going to tell you something else on that. Go ahead and finish what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you something else, too. I'm going to give you some insight on some other things that I've come across. But go ahead.
And it's sad. Like, I've lost a lot of family members and ex-girlfriends and this stuff, and it's scary at one point.
Yeah, it is.
But
check this out. Check this out, my brother. I want you to check this out. I was in relatively good health up until 2010. Now, in 2008 to 2010, I was working extra, extra hard, you know, at my different jobs and everything, and I was not eating right. And I'm not afraid
to say guys, so let me interject. And give you guys some food for thought. I am going from cancer. So if you wanna follow up on some of the stats I'm about to give you, this is for men.
Okay.
And you can go to the American Cancer Society, which is cancer.org. Now, it just stated, like, I'm gonna give you some, it gives us some interesting facts, risk factors for breast cancer in men. A risk factor is anything that affects your chances of getting a disease such as breast cancer, But having a risk factor or even many don't mean that you are sure to get the disease, okay? Some men with one or more breast cancer risks never develop the disease, while most men with breast cancer have no apparent risk whatsoever. So I'm going to give you guys a breakdown. Somebody is, like, crackling something really loud. I don't know what that is. Okay, so let's go forward. The risk factor for men. One of them, guys, heavy alcohol drinking increases the risk of breast cancer in men. This may be because it affects the liver, okay? Liver disease plays an important role in balancing the levels of sex hormones. In case of a severe liver disease, such as cirrhosis of the liver, and it's not working well, and the hormone levels are uneven, causing lower levels of androgens and higher levels of estrogen. Men with liver disease can also have a higher chance of developing benign male breast cancer growth. So the word, I don't want to mispronounce it, GYNECOMASTIA. Now, what is that? When I looked up what that is, hold on, I just had it. That is in the male. Let me tell you guys what that is, and then I'll let you proceed, because I just find that. And another fact is obesity. Studies have shown that women's breast cancer risk is increased by obesity, being extremely overweight or after menopause. Obesity is also a factor for male breast cancer as well. The reason is the fat cells in the body convert male hormones into female hormones. And this means that the obese men have a higher level of estrogen in their body, which gives them a higher risk of having breast cancer. Okay, guys?
That is correct.
So, and then to get back to male breast tissue, okay? Until puberty, guys, young boys and girls have small amounts of breast tissue consisting of a few ducts located under the nipple or the aorta, okay? At puberty, girls' ovaries make female hormones causing breast ducts to grow, okay? And this is a little one-on-one sex ed. Men's breast tissue has ducts, but only a few, if any, are called lobules, okay? But they say, how breast cancer spreads? How does it spread? And breast cancer can spread when the cancer cells get into the blood, the lymph system, or carried by other parts of the body. So for the men, it says the lymph nodes under your arm, the lymph nodes around the collarbone are also can be affected. The lymph nodes inside the chest near the breastbone. So that's where Rob was caught, in that breast area. So the term that I use, gynecomastia, is most common male breast disorder. Okay? It's not a tumor, but rather an increased amount of male breast tissue. Usually men who have too little breast tissue to be felt or noticed. But so these are just common factors, guys. And I guess what it's telling you, just be proactive with your health. Be proactive with, like Rob said, following up. Because now we're realizing that cancer doesn't discriminate against any race, any sex, and not for nothing, the black race has a higher risk factor of getting breast cancer. We are just a number one race. Overall, white women are slightly more likely to develop breast cancer than African American women, although the gap between them has been closing in recent years. And women under 45, breast cancer is more common in the African-American women. African-American women are also more likely to die from breast cancer. That includes Asian, Hispanic, Native American. So women of color are the ones, honestly, being attacked more so by breast cancer than Caucasians. And I noticed when I had there's a group of ladies, and they call themselves For the Breast of Us. Beautiful, beautiful sisters, two black women. They started an organization. They both were young, breast cancer. You know, one was 26 when she was diagnosed, the other 28. And, you know, one has no nipples. She was married, and her husband got her through it. The other one, she had a boyfriend. The boyfriend walked away from her after hearing about her diagnosis. So, Rob, you keep mentioning your ex-wife. Not to get in your business, but...
No, go ahead.
Okay, so because of the breast cancer, was that a factor in the two of you with a divide?
No. Nah.
Okay, so then we won't go there because I don't want to get all of your business.
The real reason is because I was an asshole. But so that's always been me. So I mean, I could admit it now. She's a great woman. We're still friends to this day.
Okay.
We're cool friends. We got, you know, and not because we have kids, but we're cool people. And I thank her all the time for basically saving my life.
Right.
She saved my life,
right.
And I give her thanks for that. You know.
Right.
It is what it is. Now, you know, just because with breast cancer, you know, she also, I even tell her, I was like, yo, you know, did you get felt up this year? You need to go on and get on the case now. I know you got a new dude and all
right.
that, but get felt up.
Sure.
You know, get yourself checked out, because I honestly don't want anybody to go through what I had to go through or what anybody else with this breast cancer or any form of cancer. Because, you know, we're focusing on breast cancer, but I focus on all forms of cancer. We can beat cancer as a whole. So I tell people all the time, and for me, breast cancer is not an October thing. For me, it's an everyday thing. So, and I don't feel as though I want to slight anybody, but I talk about this all the time because this is now life. You know, this is now life. Now, true enough, I'm living a full life and I'm doing my thing and all that. I'm DJing, I'm making mixes and stuff like that, and I'm out here partying, but I'm also now aware of what is going on in life. And I wanted to tell one more story, one more thing about my breast cancer journey is I had myself genetically tested to see where breast cancer came from. And I don't
now,
know
wait
if you've
a
been
minute.
Yet,
how, hold on. Let's back that up. Now, when you got word that you could get genetically tested, is it something you thought about? Is it something your doctor advised you to do?
My doctor advised me of it. My doctor
so how do people go about getting that done? How do you go about getting genetically tested?
It's a blood test, and what they do, they have a separate way of testing your blood, and what they're trying to find out is if somewhere down the line are you genetically predisposed to breast cancer. Now, what I told them is that no one in my family has ever had breast cancer. No women, no men. I'm the first. Right.
Well, guess
now,
what?
No one
in my family has never had breast cancer, but cancer itself, like you said, like your mother had the form of cancer
colon
your mother
cancer.
Had was what? She had
colon cancer.
And your dad had prostate, correct? So the cancer is genetic because it runs on both sides of your mom and your dad. And I too, it doesn't run on my father's side, but my mother's side of the family, various forms of cancer have taken out a lot of my family members on my black side.
Yeah.
On my Hispanic side, I have to admit, none of my familia, that's Puerto Rican, no one has breast cancer, any form of cancer. Now, arthritis, on the other hand, shame the devil because I hate that shit. But it's one of those things like, I want to know, and you tell our listeners tonight, how do they go about getting genetically tested?
You can go to your oncologist and get genetically tested. You can go to a breast cancer center. Oncologist.
What was that called again?
Yeah. Go to your oncologist.
Oncologist.
Yeah, your oncologist.
Like, I have an oncologist, but she, so your oncologist is someone that specializes in your procedure for, you know, bilateral mastectomies. They check the breast after the procedure. They keep up with that area of your, you know, for you. So that's the person that you want to go to, Jeff. And you can easily get a referral from your primary care physician. So you would tell your primary care physician that you want a referral for a specialty doctor, and the doctor that you would want is an oncologist. And they would refer you, and then you just, you know, you make an appointment, and then you go see that person. So those are the steps, guys. And I think people, if you have insurance, use it. Don't just use it in during an emergency. Am I right, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know. I'm there all the time. I'm a regular. They see me. They're like, hey, what's
me
going
too,
on? I got
honey.
VIP parking. I
yes,
got VIP parking.
Like,
I know the valet. What's up, man? You know, they park me up front.
So, Rob, but, you mentioned that you were struggling with depression. How did you have to go see a psychiatrist? Are you on antidepressants? Because I have to agree with you. I take something in the daytime, and I take something at night. And I do have a psychiatrist, and I do promote mental health is so important, and or
it,
not
yes, it
just
is.
For breast cancer survivors, but for the day-to-day walk. Because I'm gonna tell y'all something.
Yeah.
If I meet a nigga and he starts acting bipolar and crazy, and he want to go off and do all that cursing out and stuff like that, guess what? He better get to stepping, as Martin would say, because I am not allowing anyone on this earth currently to give me negative energy and me as an adult tolerate this other adult's erratic behavior. Now, I'm going to allow each one of you guys, and I'm going to start off with Jeff. Erratic behavior, bipolar disorder, or any other behaviorism, have you ever, one, looked into your own mental health, and then two, do you notice when there are signs of someone that maybe you've dated or loved giving you that type of behavior, and then you tolerated it and then eventually said, I can't do this anymore? I'll start with you, Jess.
Make me laugh. I don't know. I will stick around long enough. If I dissect that, I had to think about that.
What about family members? Because I know I have. I've had some
family members
that were schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And guess what?
That's
I'm
different.
Sorry.
That's different. Yeah. As far as that,
no, this is the thing. You don't got to. Okay, this is the thing. Don't get into the meat potatoes, but I want you to reflect on how did it personally affect you, and when did you decide? Because people got to remember, when someone is dealing with mental illness, it just doesn't affect them. It affects people around them that love them. And so when it affects you, how did it? And two, did you become proactive in saying, I can't tolerate this anymore? That's the question.
Well, yeah, I came to a point I had to step back. I'm the type of person, when stuff get crazy, I step back real. I mean, I analyze a lot of stuff. When it gets to me, when it starts to bother me, I step away from it. I'll give advice, and I'll speak to the person and tell them, but when it's get that don't help, I kind of step away from it. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just me.
No, I agree, because that's your testimony. So, thank you. Now I'm going to ask Antoinette. I'm going to ask you, if you're still with us.
I'm here.
Antoinette, have you ever been affected by either a boyfriend or family member that is dealing with some type of mental illness and it's affected you personally? And then what did you do to be proactive to remove yourself, or do you still tolerate it?
I wouldn't say I let it affect me to the point. Wow, that's a really good question, because you're just trying to figure out the different ways you.
So let me help you out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna help you out because
okay,
I have
you.
To say mental illness runs on my mother's side of the family, from bipolar depression, schizophrenia, forms of just manic depressant, and I have a cousin. She was one of my first cousins, okay? And I won't say any names, but I adored her. And we grew up together, and then both of our mothers died when we were young. So we were each other's backbone. You know, we were supportive of each other as we got older. So I just recently, a few months ago, as a matter of fact, like maybe back in May, finally put my foot down and walked away from her. Because and not just her, a few other family members that are similar with having erratic behavior where it's come to abusive, verbal abuse, physical abuse. They come back and tell you they're sorry. They've tried to put their hands on you because they had a moment where they outbreak. You know, they cursing at you. They raising their voice. They swinging because they don't take their meds on a regular, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my first cousin, when I was like 24, she almost sliced me in the face with a butcher knife because she went off and went crazy one day in the house because she thought I left her at the club, you know. And when that occurred, I moved away. I left New York. I went to Florida to regroup and be with my Puerto Rican family. You feel me? But then years go by, you allow this person back in your life. And then again, the bullshit starts. And then me having a big heart, tolerating it because I'm so compassionate for other people. But then there's a time in life when you got to love you more than these other people. And it's not healthy to continue to allow dysfunctional people in your life. Do you understand where I'm coming from now?
Yeah, I understand. But I can also say that I'm very blessed to not be in the situations you've been in. I've been very blessed to not have many dysfunctional people in my life like that. And I guess
that's
God has kept me from that. And if I did have a problem on any type of level at some form, I've stepped away from it. Or I made myself very clear in how I won't tolerate it as well. But I've been very blessed to not be in situations, anything like you just stated.
And
so,
any relationship
you've
ever been in? Any relationship you've dated a brother? Well, see, you're lucky.
I'm very
you're
blessed.
Lucky.
Very blessed.
So,
I've been here going, no, never
you.
Been in that situation.
Well, that's good. So,
of course, you're around people who have mental health issues, and either you just found a way to assist them in any way you can. If that doesn't work, you step away, or you just, period,
right.
I can't help them in no way, shape, form, or fashion. So I'm just going to pray and move. Let God work on that.
Right.
But I won't be in that situation.
Thank you. Now, Rob Daddy, you are my featured guest. So, Rob, have you ever been affected by, we from New York, and I know Jess is from New York. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know how New Yorkers get down with, they will pop off in a New York minute or a New York second.
What?
And everybody
really?
Always, everybody, and you know what I'm talking about, Jess and Rob. To the point where people will just brush it off. Oh, he crazy. She crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, she just crazy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they don't never do nothing about it. Do you feel me? So people.
Yeah, okay.
Before I let Rob give his testimony, I'm going to give you a public service announcement. Go and see your doctor. And if you have issues with mental health, do not be embarrassed, because that's the problem with the black race now. They want to pan it off. I'm not crazy. I'm not going to see nobody. You're not crazy. You're taking care of your mental health your mental health is going to take care of your entire body. And if you're not taking care of it, and you're just drinking, smoking, sexing, doing everything in between to forget your pain, then that's not healthy. So, Rob, go chime in. Chime in on that.
All right. You might want to brace yourself for this one. Because the one thing that we did not speak about is that I am ex-military. And I served overseas during the Gulf War. So, yes, I had mental health issues before I had breast cancer. I had mental issues after breast cancer. We talked about it a little bit earlier that I suffer with depression. I take a low dose form right now of Prozac. It's called escitalopram. And the reason I take escitalopram is because it does not interact with the tamoxifen. And I take like 5 milligrams. So what I've done, and I was blessed to actually have a very good friend that was a psychologist in mental health. And I was actually, she's a very good friend of mine, and she helped me work through, it took years, and we worked together, and she got me over, I'm not going to say I don't get depressed still, but I am nowhere near the person that I used to be. I know I have coping skills now. I still pop off in the New York Minute because I pop off because I'm from New York and this is what we do. But
of course,
but it's also within reason as well. You know, I am well aware of my surroundings. I'm well aware of, you know, what if I'm depressed, I'm pretty sure I know what's causing the depression. It's not like where before I was depressed and didn't have the will to live. Now I'm depressed and I'm like, you know what? I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do to get through this because she has taught me the skills to get through this. Now everybody is going to require different skills. So what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you, but different things. Like for me, I took up reading. I started reading all these different books by, for instance, this author named Louise Hay. I used to read her books, and she had books like You Can Heal Your Life and stuff like that. And it was where you would read about stuff and how what you can do within yourself to heal your own self, where you can get by and get through this. Because I tell everybody, whether you have cancer, whether you have, you know, any kind of, you know, ailment that you might have, if I can help you, like right now, I got a friend right now that's in the hospital with a stroke. And I was talking to him, and even though he couldn't respond back to me, I believe by just me talking to him was got him out of the ICU and into was able to go to a regular room now. So, you know, everybody, my mother used to tell me something that I firmly believe, that nobody can live this life alone. You're going to need help. Somebody's going to need to help you. You cannot be an island in this earth. So we got to help each other. And that's why I'm so happy that you were able to have me on this, because I believe if my words can help somebody, hey, then my purpose here, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
So,
I want to tell you one thing. Thank you so much, Rob, for coming, because your energy is just phenomenal. And I'm going to have to share with you, I steal some of your jokey jokes, and I'll be posting those things on Facebook, and it'd be having people on the floor. So you definitely make my day on a regular. I be trolling your Instagram page, and I'll be like, yo, I'm a screenshot that one. I'm going to share it back on Facebook. I get so many laughs and reactions because you have, like, the one that you posted when it was, like, a concrete or a cylinder block wall, like in a project, and it was a piece of tape and a piece of paper talking about something about your neighbor, like that bitch over there, or I don't know. It was just one, like.
Oh,
it was talking about like your neighbor.
The one with it was during that period of time when the girl with the whole trial in Dallas with the guy with the girl who the police officer who killed the gentleman that was in his own house. That piece of paper was on the door and it said, "Look, bitch, you live over there. Don't come over here with But you know what? But you know what? I have a I sometimes have a dark sense of humor, and you know what's crazy? I've actually curbed my sense of humor because you know it scares people sometimes because I laugh at stuff because I'm like, you know what? If you don't laugh at life, life will sometimes get you. You gotta laugh at stuff.
Yeah.
You got to
now,
laugh at
I'm
stuff.
Gonna say you have to, and I'm gonna agree with that. So Jess, you're on the phone, and I wanna bring you in because Jess, I would like for you to share a bit of your testimony of one of our beloved VSU alum that passed away not too long ago, but it was Levi. And everyone. And I used to live in Durham, North Carolina, so he was getting the best help at Duke, you know, at Duke Hospital. Can you share with some of our listeners some of the things that you felt enduring seeing your friend, your brother, die? I'm not quite sure what type of cancer he had, but can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I can. I was away in Jamaica, and I came back, and I saw a post and I called another friend of mine in Brooklyn, like, look, Leroy don't look too good. But to make a long story short, I went to see him and we talked and the conversation was very deep. He told me the testimony of what happened. He was actually in a car accident, quote unquote. So much we talked about, but I think he was telling me he was in a car accident. He did a MRI or something, a mammogram, whatever it was. And the nurse, he said the nurse told him, does your kidneys hurt? It started in his kidneys. He said, no. He said, your kidneys is full of cancer. It's like he didn't even know. And he found out having a car accident. I'm telling you, we had such a deep conversation. It really melted me. Like, unbelievable. But let me continue on. But yeah, he told me the story that he had that they found in his kidney, and it was like progressed. I can't remember what state, but it was pretty far. And as we know, you know, Leroy kind of fought it for a couple of years until it finally, you know, took him out of here. But make a long story short, he was very positive. He was very strong. My understanding, his other half said I was the last person he talked to before he shut down. Y'all got to excuse me. I got to gather my thoughts. There's so much that we talked about. I want to put everything in perspective.
Take your time.
It was. I'm telling you, Rob. It was a deep conversation, and one of the things he said to me that I would never ever forget until I'm gone off this earth. And he said to me, "Look me in my eyes." He said, "Jess, why me?" I don't share this with a lot of people. And this is probably
You're sharing it with the world right now. And I'll let you guys know this, and then I'll let you finish. I have a big following in the Philippines, Germany, Greece, Africa, as well as the U.S. So this podcast is definitely being appreciated in other countries. And guess what? Your testimony, just like Rob's, Antoinette's testimony, everything that is said tonight, you're helping someone else that you don't even know that's listening, that's logged in. So don't hold back. Take your time. And I wanted to hear this because when I got word, I was away in Hawaii, so there was no way I could even come to the hospital.
You were,
and
like
you see
said,
what I'm saying?
I was on vacation in Jamaica, and all this was going on, and I messaged him. I said, definitely shoot me the address. I'm coming to see you. So I didn't tell him I was coming. So I surprised visit him. He said, you know, I knew you were coming. I'm like, uh-oh. But like I said, to reiterate on the conversation we were having, it was just like a conversation, what he told me, what he went through. Basically, the conversation is like, it's just me and God. So I'm sitting there listening like, wait a minute, this is getting a little heavy here. And so he finally dozed off. Like I said, I'm going random, y'all. I'm kind of going random, like between conversations and stuff that went on. And so I went in the kitchen and I talked to his other half, and she broke it down to me. Because I'm like, why does he keep saying it's me and God? So she broke it down to me and said, the doctor's like, you know, not too much they can do. So then I found out it was really serious. After all our conversations of what happened, how he had it and stuff like that, but he was so brave and just so positive, just like, you know, I'm going to be here. But the last time I saw him, I'm going to share this, and I haven't really shared this with anybody either. He said, this is on a Saturday. He said, I'm waiting for my father to get here, and I'm checking out on Wednesday.
And what do you mean? He means he's checked. Checking out to
check
get
in.
Out of the
you
hospital.
Checking out, man. You know what I mean. You know what checking out means.
Oh,
no,
that
he wasn't
type
in the hospital.
Of checking out.
He said, "I'm checking out after that," and he died Tuesday night. Like I said, I'm going kind of random about stuff. There's so much we talked about. But I'm
now,
just
what
trying to,
year was this? Do you remember the year he passed?
2 years ago? Like 2 years ago? Maybe no more than three.
Wow. And so, and so he died of cancer.
3 years, I'm assuming. This is 20.
So
it might be
was,
2 years, 2017.
So his was cancer of the liver. Am I correct?
No, kidneys. My understanding. He told me it was
kidneys.
In his
kidneys. Oh, was in his kidneys. Okay, so
and he
only found
like,
out.
I'm telling you, Rob, he had no. I'm gonna listen to your testimony. He had no idea. He found out in a car accident. From what my understanding of what was told him. And he had an MRI or whatever done, and the nurse found it and, like, wondering, like, man, are you okay? Like, they were looking at him like, do you feel this? I guess he didn't feel a thing. But it was serious.
Well, that confirms what Rob Daddy has been saying about men. Go get checked up. Go and get your screenings for your physicals. Because I think that's essential to healthy living is to make sure you go and get your annual checkup for everything, just so that way you know you're still intact. Am I right or wrong, Rob? Rob, are you there?
Yes,
Rob,
I'm here. I'm
Daddy,
sorry.
Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm sorry. Because I come from a family of nurses and everything, you know, even though my mom has always told me, get yourself checked out. Have you gone for your physical? You know, if you're not feeling well, did you get it checked out? Why you're not feeling well? You know,
right.
Before where I used to hate to go to the doctor. Now I'm just like, you know what? If you don't like the doctor that you got, pick you another one. Get yourself checked out. Find some. Yeah, find you somebody that makes you feel comfortable with and somebody you are comfortable with telling what's going on with your body. Do the blood work. Let them draw the blood. Trust me, I know people don't like needles and all that, but if you find the right phlebotomist, trust me, they can go ahead and stick you in the right place and you won't even know you're giving blood. You know, get that blood work done. The blood work tells a lot. Get
you know, get everything checked out. Get your breathing checked out. Make sure you breathing at 100%. You know, get yourself, you know, get the work done. You know, it's like this. I tell people all the time, by trade, I'm an auto mechanic, right? And the one thing about, you know, I always tell people, you know, when you got your car, you got to start it up and warm it up. Your body is exactly the same way. You can't just get out of the bed and start running at 50 miles an hour. I've seen people take better care of their cars and take care of their own bodies. Now, a car might last you 5 years. Your body is designed to last you for 100 years if you take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
All you gotta
now,
do
I, have,
take,
to,
all you
I
gotta,
have to chime in because this is the funny part. I posted something years ago that said, isn't it funny how people have insurance on their cell phone and don't have life insurance?
True.
You know, like that. That's another thing. So we're gonna wrap this up because I want to one. No, this is what we do on my show. How we wrap this up is this. I'm going to start with Antoinette, then I will start with Jess, and then it will be Rob Daddy, my featured guest, and I want each of you to give me a brief understanding of your thought for the day. What is your thought for the day after hearing this interview? And Jess, let you go first, and then Antoinette will chime in. What is your thought for the evening?
Ladies
All right, so we'll let ladies go. Okay. Miss Antoinette, if you're still with us. Antoinette.
I'm here.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Thank you for being such a beautiful listener, and you've been chiming in with us. Thank you for your testimonies. What is your thought for the evening that you would share with our listeners after hearing this beautiful interview?
Well, first of all, you just got to take care of yourself. It's about you, and then when you take care of yourself, you can help other people. And Rob has really instilled in me. He doesn't – I think I've told him I've had people tell me, even my doctor, go get your mammogram, go get your mammogram. I'm like, I'll do it. You know, you said that. He said it one time to me at the beginning of October. My hips was getting my mammogram the very next day. So I don't know what it was about him. I don't know maybe of how he said it. Maybe I knew of his history. But it was about, it just impressed upon me to just immediately get it as soon as I could. And your health is so important. I've made steps in the past couple of years, really, to take care of my health. I always thought I was in decent health, but I was always morbidly obese. So I've taken steps over the past couple of years to bring down my weight significantly. So you can't just do it there. You just have to make sure you're wholly fit. So in your body, because as you get older, it's just harder to keep your health going. So conversations like this just remind you, other people, and you also, even when you're not people, you don't know people are looking at you. They're trying to take better care of themselves because they know that you're looking better, you're feeling better, and you're sharing with them, even when you're not talking about your health. But they see you, whether you're posting it or just living. So the thing about what I'm getting from tonight is just take care of yourself first and foremost, and then when you take care of yourself, you can eventually take care of other people in one way, shape, form, or fashion.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Antoinette.
No
I appreciate
problem.
You. I appreciate you being on the show, and thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy myself.
Thank you. Thank you. Jess West, Your final thought for this evening and what you got from this interview.
Well, like I said, from Leroy to everybody else as a testimony, take care of yourself. I think men have to be educated. A lot of people, when you say take care of yourself, a lot of people can't afford to take care of themselves. Like, a lot of people can't afford to eat healthy. But we have to find a way. We have to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the total key to be ahead of the game of this disease, sickness, or whatever in life.
I agree.
And for you, Brother Rob, I need you to pass these words on of what you went through because I'm sure that a lot of blind men probably has not even heard of men breast cancer.
Oh, Jess, you gotta go.
You definitely pass on.
Jess, follow him on Instagram because Rob goes by RobDaddy. Rob Daddy. Rob Daddy is his tag name on Instagram. And when I tell you, Rob is an inspiration to so many.
Okay.
And I have been inspired by just following some of his posts. And he has so many various types of posts that I have to say, I see the humor side. I see the dark humor. I see the comedic side. I see the New York swag. And I see a man that has surpassed others' expectations of being a survivor and a breast cancer warrior. So I advise anyone that's listening to this podcast this evening, follow Rob Daddy, on Instagram is where you can find him. Now, Rob, I'm going to let you have the floor and give your final thought for this evening, and then I will end it with my final thought, and then we'll outro with a music song. So that's me giving everyone a cue that we're going to be over with. But, Rob, give your final thought for the evening.
Well, my final thoughts for the evening are, first of all, I'd like to give thanks for you, Ty, for allowing me this platform to share my journey, share my what I have learned, because there's not a lot of information for men with breast cancer. The only thing I can tell everybody, I can only reiterate it over and over and over again, is to get yourself checked out in any form or fashion. Do not be afraid. You know, I've told people even here, I'll go to the doctor with you, you know, but the key is to get yourself checked out. If we get checked out, we can live long lives. We are at war with different things coming at us that are trying to take us out. You know, I joke about it sometimes, but it is serious. You know, there are still other factors in life that are going to, you know, that are at war with our bodies. So if I had to say anything is, be vigilant about your health. You only get one life. You know, don't cheat it. You know, don't just overlook it. Get one chance at life. Live it the best as you can. Live it properly. And each one teach one. If you survive, help the next man, because you didn't survive without the help of somebody else. So that's my final thoughts. I mean, I thank you very much, Ty. I thank you, Antoinette. I thank you, Jeff. Hey, as the New Yorker in me, you know, it's one love. I'm really appreciative of everything that can do in this message, that it will go out and bless somebody.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Rob Daddy, for being a guest on the show. Rob, tell everyone where they can find you, and how they can follow you. Where can they find you on your media platform?
Oh, I am on Instagram at RobDaddy, one word, RobDaddy. I am also a DJ, so you can follow my mixes. I'm on Mixcloud.com, which is the app. You got to download it, whatever. You get free DJ mixes. I'm on the ones and twos. I'm doing my thing. That's on Mixcloud.com. www.mixcloud.com / Rob Daddy, one word. You can find the mixes are free, so you can check me out. I do a little, you know, grown hip hop R&B. I throw a little bit of some of the young stuff in there too.
May have to ask you to come to one of our homecomings at Virginia State.
Man, I'm in the DMV. You know, I'm all about the DMV. The DMV loves me. I'm with this.
Okay.
But
okay, I
yeah,
feel you.
You can check my mixes out. Like I said, Rob Daddy, and you can follow me on Facebook at Rob Daddy DJ. And that's basically it. I'm also on Twitter. I forgot, at Rob Daddy. So all one word. And that's how you can reach out to me, you know. And I, like I said, again, I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So this is Ty Jones, your host, and you can follow me on Instagram. It's Love Jones Ty, LoveJonesTie. On Facebook, it is Ty Jones. On Twitter, it is at Love Jones or Ty Jones. You can even just go to Google and type in Ty Jones, and it will give you some of my platforms. Please, I encourage those to click follow on my website for Blog Talk Radio. That shows others that you're supporting me by following me here, and it will increase my chances of starting to allow others to advertise on my show so I can make this thing money. So everything I'm doing is a conscious effort to continue to brand myself. I've been doing this for years, and God has been giving me the platform to be the voice of the people, and that's why the show is called Ty Jones, The Voice. On a brighter note, my final thought for this evening would be early detection is so important. And for our Black race, we are under attack when it comes to this thing we call cancer. But I want to say hashtag fuck cancer, because cancer does not define who I am. My name is not cancer. No one on this show's name is cancer. Neither anyone that's battling with it tonight or in remission. Your name is not cancer. Do not claim that. You have a name. God gave you that. Your parents gave you that. Walk in the fullness of life. Live life to the fullest and never take for granted the sun rising or the sun setting, or that you have good health. Good health is something we all need to work on. And yes, eating better, yeah, it may cost more, but also there's alternatives. Eat your vegetables, eat your fruit, eat your whole grains. Whole foods are not expensive. It's changing of the mind. And I have definitely been one of those, even since this breast cancer walk with me, I am breast cancer free. I had my mastectomy, double bilateral mastectomy, and implants done August 26th. So I'm still on that journey of healing. And I talked to my oncologist today, and she said that it will take up to 2 years of healing with the breast implant. So my final thought would say, take care of your mind, body, and spirit, and it will take care of you. In order for you to love yourself even more so, start with your mental health. And if you don't have insurance, Social Services does offer Medicaid. I know it's not the best, but it is a form of health insurance that will at least get you in the door to getting you your physicals, okay? That is my final thought for this evening. Check us out this Friday. I will have another phenomenal guest on Ty Jones, The Voice, hip-hop artist, entrepreneur out of Miami. He goes by Arson, and he will be on the show blessing us with music, culture, and he's pretty fly. I found him on Instagram, and I'm loving his style. So he'll be on the show this Friday coming up. So this is Ty Jones, The Voice, telling you peace out and God bless. And I'm going to let an independent artist by the name of Grace out of Durham, North Carolina, the Bull City, take us out with Little Ox. This is Ty Jones, The Voice. Thank you, and God bless.
Amazing Grace, what they know about them bricks. Run a big crib, gun on your kid, bitch on the floor. Let my baby live, turn the fuck around. I don't want to talk, don't you want to walk? Tell me where it is. What's in the crib, don't you see the stick on his baby bib? Don't you want to live? I ain't come to kill, I just come for brick, gun, drugs, and he got them pills. Nigga charging 40 like they shit. Yo, baby daddy gon' be mad, cause it's shit free. Trash bag on your head, have a sweet dream. I welcome y'all to Brick Lick 2019.
Ooh, Vato, Vato, I need another square, please tell me you got more. Vato, hola Vato, I need another square, please tell me you got more. Cross the border with that stamp on it. And this weed so loud, it got an amp on it. Yeah. Vato, hola Vato, bring me another square, please tell me you got more. I need an Aston Martin and a Maserati. Fuck I'm supposed to do, let me talk to Poppin'.
send it to me fast. 100 on that dash, 200 on that dash. They see me breezing past. Fuck them haters, got them Glocks with them 30s on it. I ain't never clean, bitch, I'm riding dirty, homie. Right here in Bull City, on my side of town. Take over that track, then we gon' lock it down.
Fuck that. I wonder how this Glock of town. Pull up on this nigga. If he got it, I'ma pop around. See a homie with him, follow up. Gonna knock him down.
And once I knock him down, better send me all that product now.
That's great with Little Ox. Taking us out also is Gat Murda from Brooklyn. We're welcome to the party.
G-Mix. Jack! You know what it's headed for, nigga.
This is a mellow beat.
Nigga, welcome to the party. I caught a homie and had to leave. Don't make me make you a target.
Don't make me make you a target.
Nigga, welcome to the party. I get your boy, then I got face from your Barbie. Nigga, welcome to the party. Bitch, you a thot. Lick the dick. Drum on the stick. Off with your head. Extending the clip. Crazy.
Crazy.
You blood or you crip? I'm blowing the chrome. Fuck who you with?
Don't let cat pick me a victim.
Huh? Your bitch on my body and I'ma go brag when I kill it.
Smoke that.
I can make this a homie.
Get that.
And that's on the gang. You niggas gon' die if you with him. Listen, I'm a Brooklyn nigga that be booking niggas. You be shookin' niggas when it's lit. Since a youngin' nigga, I've been slumpin' niggas. Seen the toughest nigga runnin' snitch. Hot screenshot a nigga IG and had my lower head and started writing. I'm throwin' parties, they private. And all of my ops is invited. Do what I want, say what the fuck that I feel. Yup, I need a couple of meals. I pull up and hop out and hit at your gang. I'm in the style where they drill. She all for the deuce, they all for the pills. Got yap for your cube, your big homie pussy. I let it fly, get his bitch, get him shot. Give me lit, nigga, welcome to the party. I caught a homie and had to leave. Don't make me make you a target.
Don't make me make you a target.
Nigga, welcome to the party. I get your boy, then I got face from your Barbie. Nigga, welcome to the party. Bitch, you a thot. Lick the dick. Drum on the stick. Off with your head. Extending the clip. Crazy.
Crazy.
You blood or you crip? I'm blowing the chrome. Fuck who you with.
That was Gat Murda. Well, welcome to the party out of Brooklyn. Gat was one of the independent artists straight out of Brooklyn and on the show earlier in the month. Also, Grace out of the Bull City in Durham, North Carolina. Had the pleasure of meeting that brother performing live, and he is very hot right now. Also did a duet with Bootsy Badass, so check him out. That's Grace. The track that you're hearing right now is a music bed from Jay Reed out of Tampa, Florida. This is your girl, Ty Jones. Tune in this Friday, actually. I'll be giving you details. Stay tuned. Good night, and God bless.